Hey, Jen, want to talk about teaching kids about masturbation?
I'm out. You're going to have to go solo on this one.
Great. Today we're going to discuss what to say to our kids about the awkward topic of masturbation. Let's do it. Welcome to the Intimate Covenant Podcast, where we believe the Bible and great married sex both belong on your kitchen table. That's right, we're talking about holy, covenant-bound, intimate relationships with hot sex.
We're Matt and Jen, founders of Intimate Covenant. We offer biblical teaching and resources to help married couples achieve a fuller relationship and an extraordinary sex life. For more information, visit our website, intimatecovenant.com.
Welcome, friends.
Welcome, and happy Memorial Day.
This podcast episode number 95, releasing on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you're not necessarily enjoying this podcast during your Memorial Day barbecue.
Probably not. Playing on the speakers as you're grilling your hamburgers. Maybe in your AirPods, though. Maybe you're out on the back porch grilling your hamburgers.
That could work.
In all seriousness, Memorial Day is a day meant for honoring those who have fallen in the line of duty for our country.
So we definitely want to offer our appreciation to the families of those who gave their lives as a sacrifice to maintain our freedoms in this great country of ours. We're exceedingly grateful for that. We did not want this day to pass without acknowledging that. But at the same time, we also hope that you are taking this day as a break from normal life. Many of us get the day off work today, and so we hope that you're enjoying a day of rest and relaxation and reconnection with your family.
Right. All right. Our email today comes again from a wife. We get a lot of emails from wives, and so it's a little bit longer, but I'm going to read it in its entirety so we can really capture everything that she's asking and what she's looking for,
sure,
information-wise. All right, it says, as you know, because we actually know these people personally.
We're not going to divulge names, though.
That's right.
Yes, we do know this person.
As you know, we have young children, and in the podcast, you've mentioned starting the conversation with our kids even at their young age. You have mentioned that they need anatomical names for their parts, which I understand. I don't particularly like the way those names sound, just because I'm funny with certain words sounding weird, but I get that it probably makes me weird, and just because I don't like them doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to tell the kids what they are called. We love her, and we love hearing her voice within this question.
Yeah, absolutely.
She goes on to say, anyways, can you expound a little bit on what you mean by, quote, starting to talk to them about sex at young ages and what that looks like? I don't really know how I'm supposed to do that. Also, am I supposed to be okay with them playing with themselves? I know it's not out of sexual play at their young age. I know they don't understand the feeling and just do it out of curiosity, but I also don't want to inadvertently promote what will or could become masturbation by allowing it until they're old enough to understand what their feeling means, and then it might be too late. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, dear listener, it does make sense.
That's right.
And we also certainly appreciate your vulnerability in sending the question in and asking the question and allowing us to use the question as a means of promoting a conversation on the podcast, because I can assure you, friend, that you are not the only mother or parent struggling with these kinds of questions and wanting to know what to do with these kinds of questions.
In fact, we have been asked multiple times to do an episode on how do we talk to our kids about masturbation? What should we even think about when it comes to masturbation? Lots of times we're asked to do that.
Yes.
We're always resistant to doing the episodes that seem to be a little bit focused on kids because this isn't a parenting podcast.
That's right.
But we always get it that you all want us to tell you, how do we talk to our kids about sex? And so this is, we're going to dive into that a little bit on this episode. I think there are two main questions that she has, right? The first one being, how do I start talking to my kids about sex, even at young ages?
Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
What does that look like? And then her second question is about, you know, them touching themselves, and will that lead to masturbation? And what do we, what, how do I think about that?
And how do I guide them in that process? So,
right. So good, the first part,
good questions. Mm-hmm. I think first of all, in terms of how to talk to your kids at a young age about sex, I'm going to refer you first to episodes number 3 and 4.
Yes. And I have a feeling she's already listened to them.
It probably.
But those of you that maybe are newer to the podcast, if you've not gone back and caught up, we really would encourage you to listen to episodes 3 and 4, because in those two episodes, we talk, both of those episodes were totally focused on how do we teach our kids about sex.
Yeah.
And when do you start talking to kids about
sex? Yeah, and specifically, like, at what age milestones is it appropriate to cover what specific topics?
Right.
So, yes, yeah, so there should be some guidance there in those episodes, and that would certainly be a place to start before you come back and listen to this episode specifically.
Right. And she's right. We're going to tell her, get over your hang up with the words. And we can say that because we know and love her. And I get it. There are the word penis and vulva and vagina and all these other words, like, for most of us, kind of makes us, our hearts palpitate a little bit, right? And some of these words, you're just like, that, why does that word sound so awkward?
Well, because it's not from the English language. It doesn't originate there. So it sounds strange to us.
Thank you, Dr. Schmidt.
It's a medical term. So yeah, I get it. They do sound weird.
The doctor is comfortable with these medical terms. The rest of us normal people think these words are weird. So it's okay.
I'm going to try not to take that personally. But I will say your kids do need to know what the proper terms are.
Yes.
So that they can learn to communicate about these parts with some other person one day.
Yes.
If they have strange terms that have only been used in your household, they're not going to know how to talk to their spouse about it in a way that's comfortable. They're not going to know how to talk to other people about these things.
Right. So yes. Identify body parts using the names of the body parts. Don't give them cutesy little names that then at 16, they're not going to want to use that cutesy little name, but you've not equipped them to even know what to say in regards to those body parts.
And if they learn that you're afraid to talk about these things in real terms, they're not going to be inclined to want to talk to you about them later on.
Right. So again, we're going to say really go listen to episode 3 and 4, because that's, we don't want to spend this episode rehashing everything that we said then about how to start talking to them about sex. Once you listen to those episodes, if you have further specific questions, send them to us.
Send us an email.
We will do more episodes about talking about sex to your kids, even though this isn't a parenting podcast.
I think more specifically, though, let's get to the question I think that's really at the heart of this email, and that is, in her words, am I supposed to be okay with them playing with themselves?
And this is, a big question that we have gotten multiple times, and we haven't addressed it yet on the podcast. So last week and this week, we're really diving into more about masturbation and the beginning part of this, children touching themselves. And what do we do with all that? How do we think about this?
Let me first just ease her mind by just saying self-touch, and as she calls it, playing with themselves, that behavior is not what leads to masturbation and or pornography addiction.
Right.
Okay. That is self-exploration. That is just as natural as your kids learning to pick their nose. Okay?
That's a great analogy.
And I think that kind of behavior simply requires the same kind of guidance as a parent, whether it's exploring the inside of your nasal cavity or exploring what's between your legs.
Yes.
All of that requires the same kind of guidance.
Right. I mean, we don't cloak seeing our children pick their nose in so much shame as seeing them touching between their legs. And it's good for us as parents to say, why is that?
Yeah.
Why does one feel so much more uncomfortable than the other?
Sure.
But also, we work to teach our children, like, it's not appropriate to always walk around with your finger up your nose, right?
Yeah. We know that that's... Or down your pants.
Right. That there are socially acceptable behaviors. And so it is our role as parents to teach them that. But you don't often teach your kids, don't pick your nose, with all this shame layered onto it. At least you shouldn't be.
Right. And I think
the same thing applies to body,
other body
parts.
Yeah, and I think there's kind of three primary principles that I would help guide you toward and help sort of shape your thinking in how you're approaching this. And the first one, like Jen mentioned, is avoiding shame.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that needs to be covered in shame, and we don't use shame as a means of motivation in teaching and guiding our kids. The other one is be the expert.
Yes.
You must be the expert in sexuality for your kids. Your kids must learn to see you as the expert.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have lots of people claiming to be the expert in this realm.
Right.
Online and in school and in other associations, their friends, their mentors are all going to be claiming to be the expert. But you as the parent must be the expert in their eyes. And that means you've got to have answers and you've got to be proactive in teaching them. And we'll kind of flesh that out as we go. The third principle, I think, is that you also not only must be the expert, but you must be a safe place for your kids to express their curiosity and to be willing to seek your guidance.
Right.
They must know that if they come to you with questions, that they're not going to be hit with punishment, and they're not going to be hit with shame, and they're not going to be hit with anxiety. They're not going to be hit with your shock and surprise.
Right.
And
you're freaking out. Yeah.
They've got to know that you are the safe place to come to, so where they can ask the questions that they have.
Right. So when it comes to how do I handle my children touching themselves, have that foundation of those three, avoid shame, be the expert, and be a safe place for your kids. That has to be your foundation.
Yeah. And that applies not just to masturbation, but that probably applies to everything that you are approaching your kids with.
Right.
So getting back to this idea, you know, masturbation habits don't come from kids touching themselves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not in the fundamental sense.
Right.
At least not in the sense of if we're talking about solo masturbation habits and pornography addictions and those kinds of things don't come from your kids touching themselves, because every kid touches themselves, but not every kid develops a porn habit or a porn addiction.
And at some point, every kid learns this is not socially acceptable behavior, right? I mean, frankly, your kids are not going to go off to high school having to be told, keep your hands out of your pants.
In chemistry class.
There's very few kids and if so, then there's other issues.
There's probably
happening.
Other issues, right?
Right. So you don't have to be afraid that if my 3-year-old always has his hands or her hands in her pants, that's going to be for life, you know?
That's not where that comes from.
Right.
What I will say is that masturbation habits and pornography habits come because of early and inappropriate exposure to pornography and sex.
Yes.
And we can talk maybe more about what that means. It also comes from having the lack of tools and skills to deal with exposures to porn and sex.
Right, right.
And sometimes those two things go together, right? We're not always, sometimes our kids are exposed to things outside of our ability to control, and that can help promote sometimes these kinds of habits. Sometimes we haven't done a good job of preparing our kids.
Right.
And we haven't given them the tools and the skills to deal with things that they're going to normally be exposed to.
And I'm going to do a plug right here for a book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know who the author is.
We'll leave the link in the notes.
We will put it in the show notes. But if you're a parent and you don't own this book, pause right now, go on to Amazon and buy this book. It is a great book to help arm you and your children how to handle exposure to pornography. In today's society, it is not if, it is when.
Absolutely.
Arm your children with how to handle this, because not arming them is what leads to solo masturbation habits and pornography addictions.
Mm-hmm. You have to
be arming them ahead of times. Before that first exposure, if your child has been exposed to porn already, all the more, get this book. This book is great. We get no kickback from this. But I hope that when this releases, there's like a huge tick in the number of books that are sold on Amazon on Memorial Day.
Absolutely. So these are some places where, as a parent, I can offer some guidance and help establish some boundaries.
Yes.
Understanding that I'm not going to be able to control every circumstance and recognizing that. But I do want you to recognize, maybe above everything else, that teaching biblical principles here is going to be much more effective than just making some rules.
Yes.
Right? There's no level of internet filters that I can establish that's going to prevent my kid from getting access or being exposed to pornography or sexuality.
Sure.
I can't lock them in their room and avoid every possible exposure. So therefore, and I can't think of every possible rule to make in order to protect them. So therefore, I have to focus on teaching biblical principles.
Right.
I would also say, parents, the most important teaching that you're going to do for your kids is making sure that my own marriage, my own conversations, and my own behaviors demonstrate a holy view of sexuality.
Yes, they need to see holy sexuality being played out in their homes. Satan is so busy robbing your children of God's beautiful plan for sexuality. You have to be working all that much more hard to fight Satan, to combat this, and to demonstrate in your home what God's intention for sexuality really looks like.
They will observe and learn so much more by what they observe than by what conversation you have, by what book you give them. They're going to know innately by your own behavior, your own conversations, your own marriage relationship. That's where they're going to learn the most. So it starts with you.
It starts with you. And it starts with, again, your willingness to be the expert, your willingness to allow their curiosity to lead them towards asking you questions. And so just like teaching everything else, there must be adequate instruction about sexuality constantly within your home, with age-appropriate conversations with your children, starting from the time that they are just forming an awareness of their sexual anatomy. You've got to be talking over and over and over and over with your kids about sexuality.
Right. All right. So I think this is a great place to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about teaching about masturbation to our kids after the break.
Hey, Matt, want to do it again?
But Jen, we're recording right now.
No, not that. I'm talking about the retreat.
Oh, right. The annual marriage retreat, of course.
Yes, this will be our fifth annual marriage retreat. It's such a special weekend, and we want you all to know that you are personally invited to join us this fall.
That's right. Join us September 22nd through the 24th in Houston, Texas, for the Intimate Covenant Annual Marriage Retreat.
We'll spend some time together having fun.
Jen and I will give some presentations to challenge you towards deeper intimacy.
And you'll have plenty of time for relaxation and focused conversation with your beloved.
It's a really lovely time, and we would love to have you join us this year. All married couples are invited, young or old, happy or struggling.
Space is limited, so register now. IntimateCovenant.com/retreat.
Okay, but I thought we were talking about doing it again.
Matthew.
Okay, so let's just dive right in. to talking about masturbation with our kids.
Everybody is thinking, yes, let's dive into that topic, Matt. Lead the way.
they're not the ones having to actually talk about it. But I think let's start from what does the Bible say?
Yes.
I'll obviously and always, that is where the conversation has to start. And so I think it's a really profound and important observation that the Bible nowhere makes any explicit reference to solar masturbation, either positively or negatively. The Bible says nothing about this.
Hmm.
Now, that's obviously not an oversight by God.
He's not sitting up there going, oh, well, we forgot. We left that out.
That's not what happened.
Nor is masturbation something that came about after all of the holy words of God were revealed.
Yeah, this is nothing new under the sun. Right. I have to believe, though, that what God has to say about masturbation, specifically or not, is intentional.
Hmm.
So, and it's not that God is even afraid of this issue, right? I mean, because God, through his inspired prophets, spoke very plainly and extensively about many other variations of sexuality and sexual sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't just forget it. It's not that God is squeamish about talking about sex, but the omission of masturbation specifically has to have been intentional. Now, I can't speak with any authority or even with much certainty about God's reason for this omission, but I do know that it does mean something. And so I'm going to have to grapple with what does that mean?
I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, a lot of us have a lot of questions for God when we make it to heaven. And here's what Matt's question is going to be. Oh, I just love you.
Well, you already called me weird, so I'm just going to...
We'll keep going.
Go with that. That said, all right, even though God doesn't specifically talk about masturbation, Scripture does offer plenty of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
About the kinds of heart issues and the kinds of other behaviors that are generally associated with the practice of solo masturbation, not the least of which is sexual lust.
Right, right. So I think that's then where our focus of instruction should be.
Absolutely.
Both us on this podcast, but as parents, right? So in other words, a simple yes or no about whether or not masturbation, solo masturbation, masturbation outside of the context and covenant of marriage is right or wrong, we can't give a simple yes or no answer to
that. Well, God doesn't say yes or no. He gives us a lot of other principles to guide our practices and guide our lives.
Right.
So just saying yes or no is insufficient to teach a full view of the beauty of God's plan for sexual desire. So God doesn't teach me about masturbation that way. So therefore, I don't think I should be teaching my kids about masturbation
right.
that way. But
it is so much easier as parents, right, to just say yes, no, right? And that's what we're wanting.
We want to just lay down a rule because that would be so much simpler. But my feeling is, and my urging you as a parent is, don't lay down that rule. Lay down principles and let your child make decisions in their life based on principles.
And that means these are conversations
exactly
that keep
right.
happening and keep evolving.
Yes, because as they get older, they're going to understand these principles in more profound and more sophisticated ways. So that should then prompt more sophisticated conversations. And again, that's tougher, that's harder, that's more awkward, more uncomfortable, because it means we have to, and it's more scary because we're leaving some of these decisions up to our kids.
Right.
That's scary as a parent, I get it, but this is how God guides me as an individual. I need to be guiding my children this way as well. Now, one important principle, if you go to the book in the Bible that celebrates married sex, that celebrates the beauty of sexuality, there is this important refrain that occurs three times in that book that is simply stated, do not awaken love until it's time.
Yeah, the bride is saying that to her unmarried friends multiple times. And I think that's a very interesting phrase. Do not awaken love.
Yes. And so what does that look like? Well, I think it means we need to stop teaching our kids that they need romantic relationships.
Right. We need to stop pushing our kids towards sexualized relationships and influences.
Right. Stop pushing them into places and situations where they are awakening love, where they are awakening this their sexuality.
Right. Thinking that it's cute to watch your 14-year-old walk out the door with, you know, another 14-year-old of the opposite sex without any guidance, without any oversight on your part as to who they're going to be with and where they're going. And look how cute they are as boyfriend and girlfriend. What are you doing?
Man, I would say that this starts even younger than that. I mean,
well, sure.
How many times do we talk to kids in kindergarten and ask them, do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend in kindergarten? What are we thinking? Why are we encouraging this? Why are we emphasizing this? Why are we promoting this?
Right.
There are so many other places in our lives in terms of schools, summer camps, other places where we are encouraging and promoting these kids pairing up in these emotional and sexualized relationships and commitments.
Right. We've got to stop teaching kids that they need a romantic relationship. Instead, we need to spend when our children are in our home, you should be helping them find their belonging through a relationship with Christ and with all his brothers and sisters, with their spiritual families. That should be your focus, not boyfriends and girlfriends and commitments before they are emotionally ready for these kind of commitments.
And let's stop overemphasizing the goal of marriage.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we have a marriage-based podcast and ministry, and yet I hear I'm telling you, marriage is not the goal for your kids.
Right.
It's not the goal for you either.
Right.
Marriage is a metaphor for the goal. Marriage is intended to represent something much bigger. Go read Ephesians 5 and understand marriage is to teach us about Christ and the church.
Right.
That's the goal for your kids, not marriage.
Right. Teach your kids to desire a relationship with Christ.
All right. So we've gone way off on a tangent.
Can you tell what Matt and I's soapbox is all about? But we get it. This is radical living. Living for Christ requires radical behavior. Stop trying to look like the world.
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll back off of our soapbox now.
So I think in terms of, and again, the principle there is do not awaken love.
Yeah.
Don't push your kids into places where you're going to overemphasize the importance of romantic relationships. I think it's also important to consider what are some of the motivating factors for these habits of masturbation that tend to occur in the teenage years or sometimes maybe younger.
Right, right. It's important to consider what are you seeking when you're seeking that self-gratification sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just about sexual desire and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's about stress. Sometimes it's about loneliness. Sometimes it's about boredom.
Right.
And sometimes it's about curiosity.
Yeah. And sexual pleasure and masturbation ends up being a coping mechanism for, like you said, things like stress, loneliness, boredom, depression, anxiety, all of these things. It can become a coping mechanism. And so, again, I think it's important to teach your kids to recognize those times in their lives when they may be tempted or drawn towards misusing their sexuality as a substitute for better coping mechanisms.
Mm.
And better coping mechanisms are things like real intimacy, like real relationships.
Right.
A real relationship is a much better place to learn to deal with stress and boredom and anxiety than sexual self-gratification.
Right. Teach your kids to build relationships. Get them... Make sure they are involved in friendships and organizations within your church family. Look for opportunities to involve your kids in service activities for your church family. I mean, that sounds big and grand, but have them writing cards to the older people in your congregation. Have them making meals for the young families, young moms in your congregation. Mm-hmm. Do things to teach your kids the importance of building relationships so that you can fill that spot in their hearts where they might be tempted towards self-gratification sexually.
Yeah. And find ways that your kids can pursue meaningful outlets for their stress. And that could be physical exercise or mental exercise, right? Right.
Recognize that the teen years are full of stress. Just because you have different stress as an adult doesn't mean that there isn't stress and being a teen. Mm-hmm. Stop minimizing what they're going through just to say, well, yeah, but I have to pay the bills. That doesn't help your kids at all deal with the stress. It just teaches them that you're not a source for comfort.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Don't teach them that.
Right. Teach them to find meaningful outlets. But that means you have to know each kid individually.
Right.
Some kids may be, you know, sports is an outlet for them. Mm-hmm. For other kids, other engagements, other activities, other organizations, other ways of relating to people. Know your children and guide them in a way that helps them to build those relationships and have meaningful outlets for their stress.
Right. I mean, help your kids find purpose that drives them towards productivity and towards belonging, and help them, yeah, combat these reasons that might lead them mm-hmm. towards masturbation, and be willing and open to talk about this with them.
Yeah. I think the other side of this, though, is it's specifically speaking of solo masturbation, is that it's really important that we emphasize to our kids what are the dangers and what is the what is this setting them up for? What problems might this be setting them up for?
Right.
If and when they develop these kinds of habits. I think the biggest issue with this is the selfishness behind it. Ultimately, we know that our sexuality is meant to be shared with a spouse within the covenant of marriage.
Right.
And if you aren't emphasizing that, if you aren't emphasizing the beauty of that, the beauty of that of covenant relationship, and the beauty and the abounding pleasure associated with married sex, then your kids are never going to have something to aim for.
Right.
If we're trying to help them avoid the bad habits of solo masturbation, we've got to give them a goal,
right?
Something else to point their desire toward, something else to demonstrate where the beauty is. If they don't ever see what the alternative is, then they're never going to know how to obtain it. So again, marriage is not the goal necessarily. The goal is to develop this beautiful relationship with Christ.
Right, right. So, you know, scripture teaches us the joys of married sex that are meant to be shared between a husband and wife. But solar masturbation trains your brain into thinking of sexual desire as simply a self-centered act, since it just focuses on pleasing self. And so tell your children that. Tell your children this is the danger. You will be training your brain to think of this as something just about myself. And in fact, the reason, part of what spurred this episode, along with our email from our friend, was last week's episode and that email. So go back and listen to episode 94 if you haven't. But that was a email from a wife who had been trapped in the habit of solo masturbation well before she was married. And guess what she brought with him to her marriage? She's struggling now because she's having a hard time expressing her sexuality with her beloved. So there is real and profound problems if you form this habit outside of the covenant of marriage. And so you do have to help your children see the dangers of misusing their sexuality.
Yeah, but that starts with teaching them what the purpose is.
Yes.
What's the goal of my sexuality? What is my sexuality there for? And how can I then focus my sexuality, even as a single person, how can I focus that toward motivating me toward better and deeper relationship with Christ?
Well, right. Your child may not get married. Your child may not ever express their sexuality within the covenant of marriage. Well,
but even if they do, they may be single for a significant period of time.
Sure.
Right?
And so you have to help them see, what do I do with my sexuality now?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have to be recognizing that the goal of our sexuality is not pleasure.
That's right.
The goal of our sexuality is it's meant to draw us towards full intimacy with Christ.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Matt. Did we get it all covered?
Well, if we didn't, we want your feedback. Contact us, podcast@intimatecovenant.com, or go to our website and you could submit anonymous feedback, intimatecovenant.com/podcast. Click on the button that says contact the podcast and you can submit anonymous feedback, questions, suggestions. We would love to hear from you.
That's right. What have you told your children about masturbation?
There you go.
Have you had a conversation with your children about masturbation? All right. Let's go through our wrap up, Matt.
All right. Understandably, as parents, it is confusing and awkward and challenging for us to know how to guide our kids when it comes to teaching them about their sexuality and specifically about masturbation. To be clear, the Bible does not speak specifically about solo masturbation, so this is not a simple yes or no conversation with our kids. Therefore, it is most important to teach about the principles that might guide thoughts and behaviors related to masturbation, such as sexual lust. We must equip our children to understand their sexuality through a holy lens and equip them with tools to productively channel their sexual energy, their sexual desires, and sexual curiosities.
Now it's time to grab your spouse and your Bible and head to your kitchen table to have the conversation about what role masturbation has played in your lives and how can you better equip your kids to handle their own sexuality.
Thanks for listening, for subscribing, rating, and sharing the podcast. Thank you for all your support. Until next time, keep striving and don't settle. Thank you for listening. If you have something to add, we would invite your feedback, questions, and suggestions via our email, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. To submit anonymous questions and feedback, visit our website, intimatecovenant.com/podcast. Click on the button, contact the podcast, for an anonymous submission form.
In addition to this podcast, Intimate Covenant offers group Bible studies, private couples coaching, premarital counseling, weekend seminars, and an annual marriage retreat. We would love to continue the conversation about God's plan for intimate marriage and holy sexuality with you and your friends.
If you're interested in bringing us to your church or small group, please contact us, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. May God continue to bless your marriage.